Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Normally at this time, Teron Davenport joins us. He'll join us at 9:30 today here on the program. Got Austin Hooper, Titans tight end, going up at 8:30 as well. So lots of Titans talk with those two. Austin Hooper at 8:30. Teron Davenport at 9:30 here on the program. So TD been flexible for us today.
Yep.
We appreciate that. Zach on the text line says, I used to be an ump at the rec league in Fairview when I was in high school and we made $25 a game. It was an hour and a half game. I realized when I was in high school is a vague timeline of 04 to 08. Maybe inflation has increased the pay scale for rec league umps. Still doesn't constitute yelling at the umps, though. This is coming from Zach on the text line.
Yeah, it's like that. It's, I don't know if we totally established the parameters. I don't know. Yeah, but basically, what you said, because there have been a few times that I've been like but I felt bad about it afterward. Like, okay, come on, like a bad charge block call. And again, talk about hypocrisy. As someone who, I think I've told this story, I reffed intramural hoops in college. I also played. And so, like, a guy I worked with one time almost got in a fist fight with him over his calls in my game. And he's like, you do the same crap.
I can picture this, Robbie.
He called a couple of hand checks on me. I didn't even touch the guy. Whatever. Don't even get me started. But, basketball officiating is hard. One time I blew the whistle when someone's foot was on the three-point line. It was like, what? I'm like,
sorry. Oh,
sorry, in my head, I'm like, it's only a two, but I blew the whistle. Sorry. So, you know who, by the way, I know this also, I didn't bring this up last time, but you know what can be really nasty? Tennis parents.
Really?
So,
just like in or out calls?
Or even just tennis. Like, so, I've talked about the football sometimes, like some parents scream, and it's like, no, come on, it's nasty. It's kids playing flag football. But I've covered high school tennis state championships for quite a few years in Michigan. I would always try to pick that when we all had to cover something in those big spring prep weekends, right? Because, like, covering tennis is way better than an all-day, like, track.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're trying to keep track. It's like, okay, what kids can win it all? What teams can win it all? Boom. Tennis, great. And it was also close to home. And I saw some stuff said by kids too, like kids on another team that got eliminated went to their rival team, watched them play so that they could like boo and hiss and say little things to them from the stands.
Oh yeah.
Like it's just like this, come on, guys. It's like high school sports.
Isn't it kind of amazing like how we all lose our mind over sports though? Like it's the last time I was involved in a rec league basketball, which it's been, I mean, I've played basketball since then, but it's been probably 8 years, 9 years since I played in an actual league. I started like a bench clearing brawl the last time. This guy kept pushing me, and I finally said, hey, man, if you do this one more time, we're going. And he did it. So we went. That was it for that game. It's good stuff. It's
like, you,
it's
just you sports. Warned him. You warned him.
I did
him.
Warn him. I said, hey, man, one more. That's going to be what it is.
See, you were participating in the you were pushed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, but that's still different to me than like, a parent coming into a youth game or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like you, Joe.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Keith on the text line. How did you blow the whistle with a cigarette in your own mouth? This is coming from Keith on the text line. Talking about Rex Rhodes' refereeing days.
I only do that to taunt the University of Michigan's terrible flag football team.
Yeah, Keith.
Leading touchdown.
The cig was that quarterback. You didn't bring the cigs inside.
No, yeah.
The
refing. Yeah,
just
when you're playing flag football.
Although back then, I think, you go back that far in time, like people were smoking everywhere, still like. That's
smoking in non-smoking sections in restaurants?
Like, do you remember, you're old enough to remember, probably not though, right? Like as a kid, everybody smoked cigarettes everywhere.
It was like a little bit the case when I was a kid. It started to phase out of it. Like I do remember the smoking sections and non-smoking sections of restaurants, which is still kind of amazing that ever took place.
Right. It's like, over here.
Oh, it's all good over there. Yeah, it's not going to waft over here or anything. It's all good over there.
Uh, Gosh. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I've been like on airplanes as a little kid. The guy right next to me, just blowing smoke in my face. Okay, great.
Got a text that says, hockey parents are intense. I reffed at age 16 about 20 years ago, and the parents were always brutal. Kids yelling, I never minded. It's part of the game for players and refs to argue. That is the one good part about hockey, though. Like, you're on the ice.
Yeah, there's some separation.
It's difficult to hear the parents sometimes, yeah. I would assume.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I guess when the rink is, there's not very many people in it and it's silent, I guess you can hear the parents a little bit more then. It's not like it's Bridgestone Arena out there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, like in any sports, anyone who's around any sport for a long period of time has probably seen some crazy stuff in that sport along these lines.
Yeah.
But I don't think of hockey. Yeah, hockey to me, yeah, you can at least have a little bit of a barrier between you and we got a lot of people reacting to this whole thing.
Keith on the text line says, Robbie reminds me of when I was a kid. My preacher, Southern Baptist at the time, got kicked out of a church league basketball game. Yeah, it wasn't my proudest moment.
You told the guy.
I told the guy, though.
I mean,
one more time.
If you just hauled off and hit him, then that's one thing. But you said, stop doing it.
He didn't stop.
Someone asked if Joe didn't carry a vape in his shirt pocket. Vape? Come on, man. How old do you think I am?
Let's say.
Joe wouldn't know how to charge it. Sorry, Joe.
You heavily predate the vape. Yeah. That's for sure.
Just good old-fashioned... You know, Boomer. Filterless Pall Malls, baby.
I don't know where to go from here.
We're going to talk about the Titans, I think.
Yeah, we were going to talk about the Titans. We got Hooper coming up at 8:30. I'm interested to see his thoughts on building that connection with Tannehill. You said it, and I know people don't want to hear it this time of year, and they're going to roll their eyes. But you think Tannehill looks pretty good out there. I will say, I thought about this last night. You know, what are the chances of him rebounding and not just, you know, from the playoff game, but from last season as a whole and looking more like 2020 Ryan Tannehill? Like, if that happens, then I think, number one, you're for sure going to be right that he's the quarterback in 2023. But if that's the case, like, what sort of a difference does that make for the Titans on the field this year if he is more 2020 version of Ryan Tannehill? And how difficult is it going to be for him outside of just his own independent play and decision-making, which is a big part of playing quarterback, and that's what we talked about last year with his turnovers. Some of the decisions that he made to throw the ball were just bad. Bad decisions that he didn't see, you know, defenders. And, I mean, the Texans game, you had Des Fitzpatrick out there running some routes. There was, as he likes to point out, every turnover has a story of its own, so I understand that. But apart from his own decision-making, eliminating some of that stuff, how much more difficult is it going to be for him to replicate a 2020-like season without A.J. Brown and with his current state of the offensive line?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like that was such – and Derrick Henry, 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
So 2,000-yard version of Derrick Henry, I would say – well, look, before Lawan got hurt, obviously. But before Lawan got hurt, I think the end of 19 and the first half of 20, that's the best offensive line, probably the best offensive line performance of his career as an NFL quarterback. It's underrated for what it was at that time, and it's the best offensive line I've seen of the Titans over all these years too. So just a huge part of this. You know, you can set up in the pocket. And also play action is so effective, which it should still be. Then, like you said, A.J. Brown. Oh, and Jonnu Smith too, by the way. And – Corey Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, 2020, you know, Brown, second year, emerges as a few, you know, he's a rising star. Corey Davis, best year as a pro, might end up, probably end up being his best year as a pro.
He basically, what do you have, 984 that year?
Yeah, basically had 1,000-yard season. Jonnu Smith, best year as a pro. Offensive line, still pretty remarkable to me how well they still played with Lawan out, but I think some of the second half of the season performances and even like the Baltimore game, you know, you're going to miss Taylor Lewan a ton, but they were still good. They were still fine. And then you compare, like, it's not quite a fall off the cliff, but a huge step back last year. Some of which is Lewan trying to come back and all that stuff. So how much of Tannehill's performance when it was really good has to be owed to this, and this being really good around him? You know, I mean, I think we'd all agree he's not the level of quarterback to just elevate whatever is there, like an Aaron Rodgers, or maybe a guy,
Derek Carr,
a guy with similar talent, yeah, like Derek Carr.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's not that.
Thank you, Devontae.
Yes, I love it. He's not that, of course, but you still gotta hope he can elevate to some extent. You know, how much does Hooper matter to him this year? I think it will matter quite a bit. It's hard. I think Tannehill looks great out there right now. He's out there. There's no contact. No one's going to touch him, but he looks great. If we're going to talk about Matt Ryan looking great, I tell you that Ryan Tannehill looks really good out there, and he looks like he has a connection, in particular with Hooper, and again, NW1.
Yes, sir.
Say that again. But I think he's probably underrated going into the year. Titans fans are still, I think, you know, ready to move on and all that stuff. I think he could have definitely a bounce back year, but there's still just so many factors that are not under his control that are going to help tell that story.
We'll continue this discussion, including an interesting element to this that Ron brings up on the text line that I think is very interesting to monitor this year with Ryan Tannehill. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Austin Hooper of the Titans coming up at 8:30. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ron on the text line says, do you believe with how things ended last year and all the talk about Tannehill that he'll play out of his mind knowing all the talk plus Malik Willis being in his shadow with the threat of losing his job after next year? Plus, I'm tired of everybody saying the Colts will win the AFC South. This is coming from Ron on the text line. There is an interesting part of that I am fascinated to see what happens with Tannehill. Like, knowing that they just drafted a quarterback, obviously, I mean, you've got to go out and play well. That takes care of itself. But I do wonder, like, how does Ryan Tannehill, if you stripped it down and you gave him some truth serum, how does Ryan Tannehill feel about Malik Willis being drafted at this point? And what sort of an impact, if any, does that have on his play this year?
Well, before I get to that, I need to deal with Ron here. Okay, so I'm looking at this text you sent Ron, which Robbie just read. I don't need to reread it. You sent the same text Wednesday at 9:16? Wednesday at 5:43 a.m., Tuesday at 2:25 p.m., Tuesday at 2:23 p.m., Tuesday at 2:22 p.m.
Maybe we're the first ones that got to it.
Are we the first people? Like, so basically, mostly you sent this to Jared and Caroline. I mean, the fact that you sent it 2:22 and then at 2:23.
Yep.
Get it in there. Like, talk about it right now. So, first of all, I guess I apologize. If no one has addressed your question here,
we're the only show in town that will address this question.
That's right. We're the only show in town that's going to answer this question. Also, that's some serious persistence on your part, Ron.
Shout out to Ron.
Yeah. Now, by the way, let me rip this question now. This is a little too close to the, oh, my gosh, he's going to do the one-fingered pull-ups because he's playing, you know, he's playing his former team.
I mean, he played pretty well that week against the Dolphins.
He did. That's fair.
In terrible weather.
So this is my thing, is like the reason that these billion-dollar businesses – or fall all over themselves year after year after year to find someone to do this job is because it is really, really hard to do it, and it's really hard to find anyone who's good at it. And this is also why, you know, why they make 30, 40, 50. We keep going up and up and up on what quarterbacks are paid. So I just – it's going to be so hard for Ryan Tannehill to be good this year, to win, to score touchdowns, to complete pass, all that stuff. Like, play out of his mind. What does that mean? Like, a quarterback is about – it's about poise. It's about accuracy. It's about command. You know, it's about seeing the field, all these things. Like, Tannehill, I don't think for one second in his entire career has ever not played out of his mind. He's just – he's what he is as a player. So,
well,
I'm sorry, Ron. I don't think that Willis being in here or the talk about Tannehill, maybe it means something now, like when he's lifting weights.
Well, I'll say this. Like, when he first got here from Miami, he came in, I mean, at the time, to be the backup, and it was pretty clear that his career was on a trajectory at that point of, like, was he going to be a starting quarterback in the league again? And then he gets his shot, and he makes the most of it. Like, I think it's fair to say that there are serious questions that Ryan Tannehill has to be aware of about whether or not he's going to be the quarterback for the Titans moving forward. Like, he is playing for a starting quarterback job this year. If he's awful this year, like, is he going to be a starter in the league next year? I don't know. Maybe for somebody. But if he's really good this year, whether it's with the Titans or somebody else, he's going to be a starter next year. So I do think it's similar from that aspect of he's had a moment before in his career where he was kind of at a fork in the road, and he responded really well during that time. Can he respond that well again this time?
Yeah, but
I realize it was a completely different situation.
Well, I mean, so let's say that none of this, you know, let's say none of this was in place. He had a great year last year. He's a starter this year. They're a contender. Whatever the situation is, do you think he goes about his business any differently?
No,
I mean, I don't buy that. I mean, and this is not quite what Ron said, but they need someone in here to push him to get his butt going. Like, if this was a case of, like, Ryan Tannehill just isn't studying film or he's let himself, you know, go or something, then, you know, then that'd be one thing. But it's so hard to do this job. I just, you know, it's handling pressure is really what it comes down to me, you know. And he didn't do that at all in the game in January. He didn't. I mean, choked is a huge word, but he did not respond. He did not rise to the occasion. Is that have anything to do with, like, being comfortable in his job or something? No, he didn't. He knew what was at stake, and he did not rise to the occasion. Does Willis being here or anything like that help him rise to the occasion next time? No, I don't think so. It's just, can you do it or not? Like, I think this stuff is all – I mean, I hear what you're saying on, like, how did he feel when they drafted Willis, but you know what? Could he have really been that surprised? He knows what the deal is. He's already been discarded by one team.
Well, I do think there's a difference, too, in where he was drafted. Like, if they were drafted, you know, Malik Willis in the first round, it's a much different situation to me.
Yes.
Like, in the third round, obviously, Titans fans are excited about Malik Willis. I think the Titans themselves are excited about Malik Willis. But you've got some time. Like, there's a difference between, okay, this guy got drafted in the first round. Like, he's definitely going to be the quarterback here at some point. Well, Jordan Love, but maybe.
Yeah, not necessarily.
It's a little bit of a different situation. But
Josh, you know, Rosen.
Yeah.
Went well.
Right, but there's a difference in where he was drafted that factors into this for sure.
Yes, I agree. Now, if Tannehill would just mentor – no, I'm just kidding.
Yes. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Minister David, calling from Nashville, wanting to weigh in on Ryan Tannehill. David, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, good morning to you guys. Good morning. I'm gonna tell you, I'm an addict. I'm an addict. I don't necessarily need recovery, y'all. I'm addicted to sports. I'm a minister at New Livingston, and me and the pastor, we talk about this all the time. The Titans are supposed to be doing it this year. You know, Malik Willis, he was drafted first round. What pick was he?
He's in third round.
Third round pick.
Yep.
Third round pick. Okay. Okay. Well, that's not the point then. Tannehill, how many teams has he been playing for?
Tannehill? He's been two, the Dolphins and the Titans.
That's it. I thought he got shot to run a lot of different teams.
Nope, that's it.
You do not sound addicted enough to sports, Minister David.
No, okay. Tannehill, if he doesn't do good this year, he's out. We got Malik Willis, like McNabb. We got McNabb like the third pick that year, I think, in the first round. And he sat behind two quarterbacks for 2 years. Then he finally came out, and they saw he was good because he was good in Alcorn. I saw him at Alcorn. Okay, and this boy, Malik Willis, they got him in the third round, though. He might not be ready to start just yet. I don't know. I haven't seen him. I'm going to go to the practice where I can watch him. What do y'all think?
Hey, thanks for the call, David. We appreciate it.
It's a lot of thoughts.
That was.
Well, McNair is a great example of how things have changed, right? But I think Malik Willis will have at least a year.
Oh, at least, yeah.
What if Tannehill's really good this year, and he's clearly the starter? I know some people don't want to hear that, but it's very possible. Tannehill's really good this year. They have a good year. Of course, they're going to keep him as the starter. I mean, it's a no-brainer. This could absolutely happen, folks. So you know, prepare yourselves. But what if Malik Willis is everything that they hope he is too? You know, I mean, it's a problem they'd love to have, of course.
Sure, but you weigh the cost at that point, right? Like,
well,
what is the cost of not just the physical cost of the quarterback position, but what is the cost of keeping Ryan Tannehill as a starting quarterback and the paycheck that comes with it, and what is the cost of moving on from Ryan Tannehill, and you think that Malik Willis is ready? Because there's no way to me
you just don't know
that they're
though.
Going to know that he's ready or not this year, just based on he's not probably going to get on the field.
You could know or have a pretty strong feeling by at some point next season if he's not, like, it's just not going to work out. I think you can have a much better chance of knowing it's not going to work out. Knowing it will work out, even if everything is perfect, there's still just a question of what happens when you're actually in an NFL game. Like, you know, the preseason will help tell that story too. But if that's the case, it is interesting to think about, would Tannehill have a good year and you'd still think about moving on because of the finances?
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Austin Hooper, Titans tight end. We'll get his thoughts on joining his new team and how OTAs is going for him leading into minicamp. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Catch the NBA Finals on 102.5, 106.3, The Game as the Boston Celtics host the Golden State Warriors. Tip-off for Game 4 is tonight at 8 o'clock. NBA Finals coverage powered by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee as well. We're taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We are scheduled to be joined here in just a few minutes by Titans tight end Austin Hooper. As a matter of fact, we have him right now. So let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Titans tight end Austin Hooper. Austin, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it. So, Austin, what's it been like for you as you try to get acclimated to your new surroundings and your new team? How have OTAs gone for you from a personal standpoint thus far?
I think the learning process is coming smooth. I think the biggest adjustment for anyone who's new in the system, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be in a different offense. It's just translating the language, right? I mean, there's some new concepts, but a lot of stuff going in my 7 year I ran before, so I'm just translating that from the old language to speaking Titan offense. So that's been a fun learning process to be able to learn some new stuff along the way and be able to translate it into a new offensive language to play as fast as I can without having to read the script and get prepped beforehand. So that's my challenge to myself during this spring learning period.
So, Austin, is this anything like? Is it more like the offense you were in Atlanta in the first few years of your career? Like, is there any like revisiting any of that stuff for you in this process?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. There's a lot of things within the offense. Just for brevity's sake, yes, there's some crossover there, and the thing I like the most is the freedom I have, in a sense, with the concepts that we have, that they give me the opportunity to go out there and trust what I see and not just be a line runner, but be able to have a feel for the game, and they give me that responsibility, which is cool, which was something I had as my productive years in Atlanta, where I'm able to just trust what I see, have more freedom, have options. So just with that privilege, you just can't mess it up, right?
That's right. Austin, I'm interested to get your perspective on this, because we talk about, you know, quarterbacks building connections with their receivers or tight ends all the time and what that means from the quarterback standpoint. What does it mean from your standpoint? Like, when you're trying to build a connection with, whether it's Tannehill or any new quarterback, what is kind of the checklist of things that you're looking for in terms of you getting used to who's throwing the ball to you?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to trust and reps, right? So, I mean, it's obviously being a new guy in this offense, I mean, just a sense of urgency I have with, you know, every rep I have out there on the field with Ryan just means so much more. And every little tip he has for me and how he likes, you know, how he sees the game, where he expects me and stuff like that, I just, you know, take a mental note of it and try to implement that in real time when we get the reps against the defense.
Yeah, I mean, in our, you know, in our, obviously we have limited periods, Austin, that we can watch, but, and it seems to me just in a short period of time that there's been some chemistry built. I mean, you guys have made some impressive plays. Like, have you even seen the growth? And I know that in some of those periods, it's just you two working on stuff. Like, have you seen it and have felt it, but also, like, have you guys been able to talk through some things where you're like, okay, on this, I'm doing this. Oh, okay, now I get it. Now you put it to work in the on the field, or is it a little too early for all that stuff?
No, I absolutely, you hit it. I mean, those periods where it's just us, because I mean, obviously, when you're in a team setting, you know, he's got to be on for the whole offense, you know, as he should as a quarterback. But when we have those times where one-on-one on the side, that's when we can really have that opportunity to talk back. Hey, like what you did there, but hey, look, this is what I'm thinking about this, you know, just figuring out, you know, essentially picking each other's brains. Like, where does he like to, you know, where does he expect me? And ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, my tight end coach, Luke Steckel, says it all the time. It's like, yeah, we can say whatever we want, but at the end of the day, like, you got to talk to that guy. Like, he wants you on the spot. Like, it may say here on this piece of paper, but if he wants you there, like, that's where you got to be. So those one-on-one periods that we got to have are just so instrumental for that growth for me. And that's something I felt over my career has been really beneficial when you get that one-on-one time.
Titans tight end Austin Hooper on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Austin, what do you make of kind of the opportunity for this group and specifically this offense? A lot of guys on this team that have done a lot of winning the last few years. Obviously, there's been some change to the offense. But what do you make of just the opportunity in front of you guys offensively heading into this next season?
Yeah, sure. I mean, frankly, the new guy, I don't, you know, watching from afar is one thing. But, I mean, I can't really give you a beat after a few weeks in the spring, but I can say we have a very competitive team, a really awesome locker room, and a staff that pushes you to succeed and operate at the highest level. So, I mean, just speaking offensively, just the competitiveness and the collective sense of urgency we have in the offensive room is really awesome to have. And so in my short time, like, those are the biggest things I picked up on.
What's Mike Vrabel from afar, your impressions compared with now working with him on a daily basis?
Candidly, I mean, from afar, I didn't really, you know much other than, you know, the guy played 14 years, watched him make plays in the red zone as a player, rocking a 50 number. So that was interesting growing up watching that. And, you know, hearing, obviously there's a lot of crossover across the league. So hearing from guys who played there, just hearing about, you know, strong head coach who, you know, which I respect, like, he'll tell you when you're doing it good, and as every coach should, like, when there's areas of improvement, he'll do his duty to the organization and tell you where there's places where you can improve. So, I mean, I really appreciate that.
Austin, what about you personally, this spot in your career? Obviously still a young guy at 27 years old. The journey to get to this point as a member of the Titans, What kind of an opportunity is this for you personally?
Man, that's a good question. You got to give me a second to think about that. I mean, just excitement, first of all, just excited to be here, excited to help the organization whatever way I can, whatever role they ask me to be, and just excitement, you know, just something new, something fresh. And it almost feels like you're kind of rookie again. You know, when you get into a place for a while, you learn the system, and it gets a little repetitive, whereas now it's like, you know, it's real exciting again. So, I'm just super grateful for my opportunity.
How would you characterize, Austin, the 2 years in Cleveland? I know, you know, depth charts are different from one team to another, But the production did go down. Like, you know, what would you point to there, and what were those 2 years like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret. We were a top five, you know, rushing team both years there. And, I mean, I that was the knock on me coming out of Atlanta was I think I saw some PFF, like, I took 51% of my snaps in the slot, whereas I took 67% of my snaps, you know, in a three-point stance, blocking six or nine techniques. And that was, you know, that was the offense that allowed us to be successful on the ground and score points and do some play-action stuff, take, you know, seven-man pro deep shots. So, I mean, I'm just the person who just, you know, whatever's asked of me, I'll do and I'll adapt. So I'm really pleased with myself. I turned, like, well, my biggest knock was I wouldn't block, and then I would really embrace that, and I was the blocking tight end. So I kind of got to silence those run game critics, but, you know, now it's time to, you know, get back out in the slot and get vertical again.
So do you feel like you improved as a run? Like, are you a more complete tight end now than, like, than you were going to Cleveland a couple years ago?
Oh, no question. I was pretty much a big slot receiver in Atlanta. And, yeah, and the numbers will tell you. I mean, over two-thirds of the time, I had my hand in my dirt, blocking gap scheme, blocking outside zone. So I kind of really turned my biggest knock into the thing I did by far the most there in the tight end room, which was, you know, throwing your face into another helmet and driving your feet and embracing the contact, embracing the grit, embracing the strain. So that was the thing that about Cleveland I'm pleased with myself about. Like, I kind of turned my greatest weakness into my strength there.
Well, Austin, we're looking forward to watching you this year. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck. We'll talk to you coming up soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Okay. Austin Hooper, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, Titans tight end. Some interesting stuff there from Austin Hooper. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I mean, that is, you know, he's got the numbers right off the top of his head of the difference in what he was asked to do in Atlanta and what he was asked to do in Cleveland in terms of the amount of times he was blocking. Interesting stuff there from Hooper.
Now I've got to ask him. I got to ask him what he actually thinks about PFF. Yeah. He cited a PFF. Yeah. It triggered me. I heard a PFF stat, but that is interesting. You think about that's one thing too. Again, we're not watching blocking right now,
right?
But he's huge.
Yeah,
it's like you know, if he's a real key factor in the run game as well. Obviously, that just helps everything. I think two tight end happens more this year for the Titans at quite a bit higher rate, and you know. I think he's going to have a big year.
Well, I do, and, you know, I know for a lot of people, probably the thought when he was talking about Cleveland was like, well, hey, man, Titans run the ball a lot too. I mean, difference is A.J. Brown's not here this year. Tannehill's going to need some passing weapons. I would imagine Hooper's going to be one of those guys.
Yeah, and look, I mean, they have a lot of guys there too at Cleveland. Yeah. I mean, what did they just pay Njoku like
a lot of money.
A big number. So, you know, I think he fits well with this offense, and like you said, they've got voids to fill.
Coming up next, it is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your called shots on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley, here with you on this Friday morning. You hear that music? You know what time it is. It is time for Call Your Shot Friday. As always, we'll take your thoughts and your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take your called shots all show long. Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Well, let's see. We've got, let's go with my shots. Warriors in seven. Steph Curry, finals MVP. Actually, still feel pretty good about both of those. I had Panarin with two goals and assist. I had the Rangers with a 2-0 lead, so I got that part of it right, and a 4-3 win. So specifics off, but I did have the 2-0 lead, which seems like so long ago now. So long ago. I also said Vanderbilt will advance out of the Corvallis Regional. That's a big Robbie, you had Jordan Beck with two home runs Friday. Didn't happen, but you know what? He made
had it with two dingers, and turns out he just had one finger.
That's right. Yeah, he made up for it
on
Sunday. You had UT winning each game by 5-plus runs. That actually almost
– they wouldn't have blown that last game.
Yeah, that almost actually almost happened, even though they had to come back twice from down 4-0. Xander Schauffele wins this weekend. Did not happen. But how about this? Sydney with a huge upset of Melbourne in Australian rules football, and you nailed it.
Called it. Sydney.
Boom.
Let's get after it. Come on.
Michelle, a.k.a. prisoner of moment. Celtics will sweep Warriors, said hours before Warriors' 25-point win. It's okay. The overreaction to one game in these series, it's a very common thing. Tampa wins the next four games. You might be right on that one. You got three of the four. Yep. We'll see. But
well, that was heading into game two. So, well, game two was last week.
Well, right, but they've won. I mean, they're up 3-2.
But she they were down 0-1, and then they were.
Oh, oh yeah. What am I talking about?
Well, the thing is, I was like, oh yeah, Joe, keep going.
Yeah. Golly, I'm sorry. Duh. Okay. Vols win by. This was just the Alabama State game, 10 runs or more. Yeah. What did they win? What was the final?
They won by 10.
They won by 10.
They won by 10. Nice job. I know.
They covered that spread, baby.
Over under 8.5.
God. And Vandy loses to San Diego. Well done. So, Michelle, calling some shots, getting some shots.
Yeah. There we go. Michelle, would you like to kick us off this week with today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday?
I would love to. And I still had this shot in there. I think it got left behind somewhere, but I want to make sure to keep it because it's still going strong. That Tennessee will win every game until the final series in Omaha by 2 or more runs.
Okay.
That one's still going strong.
It is.
So I've still got that one. Tampa's going to three-peat.
Okay. So take down the Avs.
Yes.
Okay.
In game six. Wait, sorry, Joe. Are you good typing-wise?
Sorry. I'm
catching
up.
I hear his little Twitter fingers typing away. In game six, Stamkos has 2 goals and an assist, and Tampa wins. They close it out. And finally, Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo will not be starting quarterbacks in week one. Is that a shot?
Well, I mean, at this rate.
Kind of.
I mean, I think the odds would probably say neither will, right? I think.
I guess.
So I don't know that that's really a shot.
How about this? But they're I'm going to flip it around. They start for teams that they're not on right now.
Okay, that's a shot.
That's a shot.
I'm not going to say specific ones, but teams that they're not on.
That's a shot.
That's a shot.
Joe Rexroad, your called shots of the week.
Seattle continued.
They got Drew Lock,
quarterback. Yeah. He's a good backup. Well, actually, he's an okay backup. Okay. Jordan Poole goes for 25 tonight. And believe me, based on how he's played.
That's a shot.
That is a shot. He's been bad. But I think tonight is the night he goes off and the Warriors badly need it. Draymond Green. Not a good game, game three. I'm not calling the triple-double. If I had guts, I would call that shot, but I will call double figures in both rebounds and assists. He will rebound. He will rebound after the other game. I'm confident in that. The assists, I mean.
Rebound both literally and figuratively, you're calling.
And tackle. Okay. Yes. And tackle. Right. Double figures and tackling as well.
He's literally going to just blow up tonight. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
All right.
But not really, see, because that's not – you can't be literally.
Yes, right. Thank you.
Yes. The Lightning are winning it all. Is that a shot?
I mean, the way the Avs are playing right now.
Okay, so we count that as a shot. I'm completely flipping my stance on the Lightning Rangers. I'm convinced.
By the way, we're one game away, one Tampa win away from me calling two Stanley Cup final participant teams in 3 years.
Going into the year.
100%. Going into the year.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. That's okay. Vols will be sent to
Joe Deves is nowhere to go.
I
sorry.
It's just like it's like our segment with Austin Hooper in which we got on the text line from officially Justin Beasley, City of Mount Juliet Public Info Officer, but really reality Joe Dubin.
Yes.
He says, "I love the way y'all get nervous talking to pro athletes."
Yes.
And I said, "Not as nervous as when I'm eating a meal in your vicinity. I know you're hovering." Anyway,
we love you, Jojo.
Yep. Michelle. Oh, wait. Wait, am I done? Oh, no. I got one more. And then you're up, Robbie. Sorry. This is really, I mean, just take the mic away from me. The Vols will be sent to Omaha on a Jarrell Ortega home run.
Okay. I like that.
And then it will be a replica of the Lebs patch ass outfield for the entire yes. team to send Notre Dame back to South Bend. No, that's not really my shot. Lebs patch forever.
Oh, man. I'm going to start with Draymond, and I had this written down before you even said it, so I'm glad I did. Draymond, triple-double tonight.
Wow. See, you have the guts to actually go triple-double.
It's going to be like 10, 10, and 10.
Right.
But I'm going triple-double for Draymond tonight in game four.
He is You know, when he was a senior in college, he was a lethal shooter.
Yeah.
That's amazing to see how his confidence has gone. But anyway, keep going.
Trey Lipscomb with a game-winning home run tonight. Trey Lipscomb with a game-winning home run tonight in game one for Tennessee. So calling the shot there. Nikita Kucherov, 2 goals in game six in the third period. 2 third-period goals in game six for Kucherov to send the Lightning back to the Stanley Cup final. And finally, after a tough one last week for Melbourne, they respond and take down Collingwood this weekend in Australian rules football.
I love it.
Did you just say Collingwood?
Collingwood.
Like Collingwood.
That is correct.
It's a very popular street in my college town.
Really?
Collingwood Avenue. Wow. Good old Collingwood. Never heard of Collingwood, Australia. You know, what part of Australia is Collingwood?
I don't know. You know, Melbourne let one get away from them last week, and they're going to be ready to go, ready to rock this weekend, I think. What are your thoughts?
Well, is that really a shot? Is that really a shot? We all know Melbourne's going to respond.
Well, I'm just saying.
The guys they got in that locker room, come on. Now, I don't know that that's that big of a shot, but I guess we'll let you have it.
You can catch it on ESPN The Ocho at about 2:30 a.m. Make sure you watch that. Ricky on the text line says, Celtics win in six. It's called shot of the week. So Celtics win in six. So that would mean one more win for the Warriors, and that's it. Boston's getting this thing done in six. Okay. I can see that.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. If the Celtics win tonight, be big-time trouble for your beloved Warriors. It's a must-win, as they say.
It would be. They've been in that spot before and have won series still. The Oklahoma City one, right?
That is correct. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is correct.
Game six, Clay. He was like game every game, Clay. But, yeah, it wouldn't be good. Got to get it tonight.
How sad will you be when your Warriors and your Rangers lose?
Wow.
Well, I kind of adopted the Rangers for my friends. And sorry, friends, the Rangers are done. But it was fun. It was a fun ride. Sorry, Michelle and Vinny. The Rangers are done.
Not me, Michelle.
No, yeah. Michelle, Rangers fan. I'm not going to say their last name and like get them harassed.
Yes. Mike on the text line says, well done on the triple-dub shot, Robbie. Curious, has there ever been a 10-10-10 ever? There has to be, right?
Oh, sure.
Somebody's had to have gone 10-10-10. Like,
I bet you Draymond's
done it. Rajon Rondo.
You're right, yeah.
Kentucky
yeah.
guy.
No, I bet you Draymond's done it.
He probably has.
10-10-10. Yeah, I'm sure. I'll look it up, though, Mike, just to be sure. This is not a shot, but whatever. All right. Never mind.
What? Okay.
You just got really mad about something.
This is not a shot. Oh, whatever.
Yeah. I did have David ask if I got thrown into an NFL game, what position would I have the most success at? And I told him I am good at long snapping. I am. Like I actually kind of wish that I would have tried to go the long snapping route. I'm accurate.
Backup quarterback.
Well, that'd be great, but you have to be like good enough to be
a snap way to play.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want that.
Sig in hand.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We are your racing station. ESPN 1025, 1063. The game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 2 o'clock for the Save Mart 350 at the Sonoma Raceway. Also join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for the racing weekend. NASCAR 1025, 1063. The game is presented by the Nashville Super Speedway and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063. The game.